Galatians chapter 5. Biblical exposition. New life through the Holy Spirit. The way for those called for freedom, not to bear the yoke of slavery again. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind. But he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then, the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. The first word that the Apostle Paul cried out toward the Galatian church was the declaration, the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. This declaration corresponds to the climax of the gospel apologetics that have been lengthily unraveled from Galatians chapters 1 through 4. The Galatian church was already a group liberated from sin by receiving the gospel of water and the Spirit from the Apostle Paul. But legalistic false teachers came in and began to teach, "You believe in Jesus, but you must also receive circumcision." These were believers of Jewish origin, a group who boasted of their religious tradition and history, and tried to put the yoke of the old law back on the Gentile believers. The Apostle Paul firmly defined such teaching as a yoke of bondage, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It was a diagnosis that all attempts to become righteous before God by human deeds are exactly the yoke of slavery, and it is the foolishness of personally fastening around one's neck again the bonds that Christ himself had loosened. The most fearful warning in the text is the word, "You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace." Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. This is not a simple issue of deeds, but an issue that shakes the foundation of soteriology. A person who tries to add righteousness by deeds downgrades the salvation perfectly accomplished by Jesus Christ into a partial one, and as a result, severs himself from union with Christ. The expression, "I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised, that he is a debtor to keep the whole law," Galatians chapter 5, verse 3, means that the moment one brings in even a single provision of the law as a means of righteousness, he falls into the fearful place of a debtor who must perfectly keep all 613 provisions of the law. Because no one can bear that burden, it is exactly the path of a curse. Viewed from the perspective of the gospel of water and the Spirit, the reason why the Apostle Paul so fiercely opposed the legalists is clearly revealed. Jesus took upon himself the sins of all humanity once and for all by receiving baptism from John the Baptist at the Jordan River, Matthew chapter 3, verse 15. The fulfillment of the law of laying on of hands in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 4, and chapter 16, verse 21, paid the full price of sin by shedding his blood and dying on the cross while bearing those sins, and permanently guaranteed righteousness by resurrecting in 3 days. This ministry of baptism, the cross, and resurrection was completed once and for all, and there is no room for any human deeds to be added or supplemented to it. The fleshly mark called circumcision was originally nothing but a shadow of the circumcision of the heart, that is, the event where sin is cut off. Holding on to the shadow and rejecting the substance is exactly legalism, and this is an act of blaspheming the gospel of salvation, accomplished once and for all by Christ. Therefore, the Apostle Paul summarizes, "In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Effective faith is not rituals or religiosity, but the footsteps of faith that naturally flow out, as the one who has received the gospel of water and the Spirit in his heart is captivated by that love. Also, the Apostle Paul warns of the danger of a small lie, corrupting the entire community with the metaphor, "A little leaven leavens the whole lump," Galatians chapter 5, verse 9. Although the act of mixing and preaching deeds in faith may look pious at first, it ultimately drags everyone to a place where they cannot receive the blotting out of sins. The reason why the Apostle Paul poured out his heart, saying, "If I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution?" Galatians chapter 5, verse 11, is also found here. If he had preached by moderately compromising the law and the gospel, he would not have been persecuted by Jewish society. However, he preached only the gospel of water and the Spirit, so that the stumbling block of the cross would not cease, and as a result, he endured ceaseless persecution. Today, we too are required to make the same resolution. The fact that we did not receive the removal of sins by doing something ourselves, but rather that we received the removal of sins because Jesus already dealt with all our sins once and for all over 1900 years ago, this truth alone truly sets us free. Using freedom to serve as slaves in love, and the walk of following the Spirit. "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. The Apostle Paul immediately attaches a counterweight to the declaration of freedom. It is the word, "Do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. If legalism is one cliff, the licentiousness of living however one wants, because one has received the removal of sins, is another cliff. The freedom Christ has unleashed is not the freedom to commit sin, but the freedom to practice righteousness. That is, the freedom to serve brothers and neighbors with love. The Apostle Paul asserts that the entire law is fulfilled in one word: "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. All the righteousness that the law has demanded has already been accomplished in Christ, and the lives of those who have received that righteousness are now expressed not by coercion, but by the voluntary flow of love. If they claim to have received the blotting out of sins while biting and tearing at each other, the original purpose of freedom disappears, and the community falls into the place of mutual destruction. Following this, the Apostle Paul reveals without addition or subtraction the spiritual reality that occurs within the Christian's inner self. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. This verse is a statement that applies only to those who are born again. Because the Holy Spirit does not dwell inside a person who is not born again, the opposition of the two desires cannot occur. However, inside the heart of a person who has believed the gospel of water and the Spirit and received the removal of sins, the Holy Spirit begins to indwell, and at the same time, the flesh of the old man still remains, with the inertia of trying to follow one's own greed. Therefore, the daily life of a born-again person is dotted with a constant tug of war between the two desires. Everyone experiences serving the gospel by following the desire of the Spirit in the morning, but after eating lunch, the desire of the flesh surges up and tries to drag them in a different direction. This internal conflict itself is also the evidence that one is born again. Here, the way the Apostle Paul exhorts is only one. Walk in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. The desire of the Spirit is not a vague spiritual atmosphere, but appears as concrete footsteps of offering one's heart, time, and material resources, so that the gospel of water and the Spirit may be propagated further. The helping hands that make and send books, the devotion that supports the ministry of the church, and the labor of serving brothers and sisters are all forms of following the desire of the Spirit. When we handle these things with love, the place where the greed of the flesh would arise is filled with spiritual fullness. The reason why the Apostle Paul said, "If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law," Galatians chapter 5, verse 18, is found here. It is because a person who follows the guidance of the Spirit is no longer a being dragged by external coercive regulations, but a being who lives according to the voluntary flow of righteousness of the indwelling Holy Spirit. From the perspective of the gospel of water and the Spirit, the core that this paragraph teaches is clear. The starting point of the removal of sins is the act of believing in one's heart the baptism Jesus received from John the Baptist, the blood of the cross, and the resurrection. And the life of faith after that is the act of serving the gospel while serving as slaves in love, according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. These two are not separated. Only a person who has been justified once and for all by the ministry of baptism, the cross, and resurrection can finally love freely, and only a person who loves freely is truly enjoying that salvation. Whenever our own greed boils up, we return again to the gospel of water and the Spirit, and confirm our identity of having died and lived again together with Christ. Within that confirmation, the next step of our spiritual walk becomes newly possible. The deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, and the life of a person who has crucified passions and desires on the cross. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 26. The Apostle Paul does not leave the opposition of the two desires in the abstract, but specifically unfolds the list of fruits that each desire bears. First are the 15 items that begin with the words, "The works of the flesh are evident." Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Immorality, impurity, and sensuality are sexual intemperance. Idolatry and sorcery are the corruption of the spiritual realm. and enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, and envying are related to the division of the community. Drunkenness and carousing are forms of failing to control one's own physical body. With the single word, evident, the Apostle Paul points out that all these things are not something one can make up one's mind to hide, but are clearly revealed to anyone's eyes. And he firmly declares, "Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Galatians chapter 5, verse 21. This word is not a warning regarding a born-again person making a mistake once or twice, but an eschatological diagnosis that a person who lives by entrusting their entire life to the flow of such deeds of the flesh will ultimately be outside the kingdom of God. The fruit of the Spirit paints a quite different landscape. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. The reason why the Apostle Paul intentionally did not use the plural expression fruits, but bound them together in the singular as fruit, is because these nine things are a single bundle that naturally grows together on one tree. If love grows in the heart of a person in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, joy follows it. When joy ripens, peace flows. Upon peace, patience, kindness, and goodness are accumulated, and finally faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are completed. The statement, "Against such there is no law," Galatians chapter 5, verse 23, is a declaration that all the sins the law originally intended to prevent are resolved within this fruit of the Spirit, and there remains no further righteousness that the law can demand. The deepest center of faith in this paragraph is verse 24. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Here, passions refers to all the emotional ties that bound a person when they were the old man. That is, the emotional bindings originating from old friends, old relationships, old pride, and old honor. And desires refers to all self-centered ambitions, to enrich one's own flesh and circumstances. The Apostle Paul does not say that the people of Christ Jesus simply controlled these two things, but says they crucified them. A person who is crucified by no means lives and moves. What greed could a dead person harbor, and by what passions could they be bound and shaken? This event of crucifixion is not accomplished by one's own resolution, but occurs by acknowledging through faith the fact that because our sins were passed on to Jesus through the baptism he received, and he paid the full price of our sins on the cross, we also died together with him. Only a person who has received the gospel of water and the Spirit can truly agree with the fact that they have died on the cross. From the perspective of the gospel of water and the Spirit, this paragraph illuminates the path of the practical life of a born-again person. Whenever the deeds of the flesh surge up in our hearts, we do not try to suppress them by straightening up our own will, but we return again before the cross and take hold in our hearts once more of the fact that Jesus took upon my sins through his baptism and executed my old man on the cross. In that place, our passions and desires are confirmed to be crucified once again, and the Holy Spirit causes the fruit of love, joy, and peace to bear fruit in that place. It is also significant that the Apostle Paul concluded this paragraph with the words, "Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." Galatians chapter 5, verse 26. Vainglory is every attempt to elevate one's own honor, one's own position, and one's own religious achievements. And this is ultimately the appearance of the old man, who should have been crucified, rising back to life. A born-again person does not seek vainglory, but the true glory given by God. That is, the glory of souls receiving the removal of sins through the gospel of water and the Spirit. And they offer all their time, heart, and material resources to that path. The core message conveyed by the text. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 26, is a text that answers, from beginning to end, one truth, that is, the question, how shall we live firmly keeping the freedom that Christ accomplished once and for all? Verses 1 to 12 are a cry to firmly reject the yoke of legalism. Verses 13 to 18 are an exhortation to use that freedom not for self-indulgence, but for serving as slaves in love, and to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And verses 19 to 26 are the conclusion showing what the life of a person who has crucified passions and desires on the cross with Christ is through the contrast of the fruits borne by the two desires. The attempt to be justified by the law and the self-indulgence disguised as freedom are exactly opposite in outward appearance, but in reality, they have the same root. This is because both are attempts to keep one's old man alive. The answer that this text consistently points to is the gospel of water and the Spirit. Only this gospel of salvation accomplished once and for all, where Jesus took upon the sins of all mankind through the baptism he received at the Jordan River, paid the full price of those sins with his blood on the cross, and guaranteed righteousness by resurrecting, truly sets us free from both the yoke of the law and the self-indulgence of the flesh. A person who has received this gospel in their heart becomes someone who no longer needs to accumulate righteousness through their own deeds, and at the same time, cannot use their freedom recklessly. This is because they have already died on the cross with Christ. It is absurd for a dead person to follow old desires again. Therefore, the final exhortation the Apostle Paul left for the Church of Galatia, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit," Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, is given equally to us today. The fact of having come to live by the Spirit, being born again, and the fact of walking by the Spirit, the life of a born-again person, are a single bundle, and any attempt to separate these two will fall into the same trap that the false teachers of Galatia fell into. We walk that one path of daily following the desire of the Spirit to serve as slaves in love and serve the gospel. And whenever our own passions and desires surge up, returning again before the cross to receive confirmation of our crucifixion. This is the true shape of the life of a person set free by the gospel of water and the Spirit, which Galatians 5 shows us.